So it's definitely a problem that here in the land of Israel we have people who are not observing the Torah. That's one of the reasons why we're extra careful, and we try to be extra careful about the Shemitah. The Torah says the Shemitah, letting the land go fallow on the seventh year, that's critical to staying in the land and succeeding in the land. At the same time, we have to remember that God is running the show, and God is understanding. You know, when God wanted to create the world, God had many rough drafts. It's unclear whether those rough drafts evaporated or they remained. That might be the dinosaurs, you know. We don't know if those rough drafts have any remnants in the land. But those rough drafts, one of the things we know about those rough drafts is that, and Chazal told us about these rough drafts 3,000 years ago, right? These rough drafts, one of the issues with them was that there was no tshuva, no capacity for tshuva. And God said, humanity can't last without tshuva. So it's very interesting that we're right here next to the Temple Mount, we're next to the Kotel, and the Kotel, which is the essence of perfection, is also the place of Livanon, where you can come back, where you could fix yourself. Because God says, I don't expect human beings to be perfect. The world can't last without a potential to come back. So the most perfect place, the place where creation started, is also the place where God says, here's where you come back. This is the door back. That's the place where we get atonement. I don't think God has expectations of us that are beyond our capacity. And most of the people here in Israel today that are sinning don't know any better. Today on the bus, today, standing at the bus stop, and a guy asked me for directions. I said, come with me. I'll take you a shortcut. I'll save you 45 minutes. I'm taking a bus that takes the highway, and I'll show you where you can catch the next bus. Don't wait for the bus you're waiting for. I could save you 45 minutes. So he comes on the bus with me, and he starts talking to me. And he says to me, what you studying? I said, Babylonian Talmud. So he says to me, what's that? A Jew from Haifa. So I gave him a brief rundown of the oral history. He sat there, his mouth was gaped open. He said, what? That's what the Babylonian Talmud is? He said, well, why didn't God write it down when he gave it the written Torah? So I said to him, because God said there will be other nations that claim they're the chosen people, and they'll be able to make our scroll chumashim. Yeah. And then they'll say, oh, we have a Bible too. So God said, I'm going to keep something that's between me and you, my kids. And that's something that won't be written. Only you'll know. And that's the oral law. And as much as you write, you can't get the oral law in writing. Art Scroll does a pretty good job. And the Christians, by the way, they're buying up Art Scroll. There are many churches that every Art Scroll volume that comes out, they buy. They're studying it. They're learning it. And it's a problem. It's not the way it should be. But you can learn Art Scroll from today till tomorrow. You won't know the oral law. That's not the way. There's still a tremendous amount of the oral law that can't be learned without a teacher. So this man is standing on the bus, and for 20 minutes, the whole bus ride, he's asking me questions, and at the end of the ride, suddenly he has a totally picture about what Judaism is. Just last night, at Machon Meir, at the Sheva Brachos, people sitting next to me asked me, you mean you could come to Machon Meir and learn Torah and still be a productive individual and have a job? I said, that's what we want you to do. So they're sitting there like, you serious? They didn't believe me for a minute. And then they said, you know how many myths you just dispelled? These are people that are members of a temple. But they thought that orthodoxy is about closing everything in the outside world and just coming in and learning Torah. So I don't think that that God holds it against people when they don't know any better. You know, everywhere I turn, I see people who don't know any better. You know, be it this Jew from Haifa, who had no clue, really, didn't know anything. And this is a guy living in Israel. Be it the people who we sat with last night, who were sitting at the table and they asked me elementary questions. They didn't know anything. So God doesn't hold that against people. Maimonides writes, so all the things that were said about the Karaites was the first generation Karaites. Second generation, we just pity them. They don't know any better. So I think that holds true for most of the people of Israel today. You know, all these people, they don't know better. The media keeps telling them that the Orthodox hate them. The media keeps telling them that we're all backward people and all we're about is hate. They don't know any better. You know, I used to be in the Lower East Side. And a yeshiva there that appeared on tourist maps, MTJ. So we every few days we get another Israeli walking in with his cuckoo and earrings and everything else, and they'd walk in and they'd ask us what a Beis Medrash is all about. And it was shocking to see all these Israelis who've never walked into a shul in their life in Israel, but now that it's on a tourist map, so let's go see what it's all about. And they'd walk in and they'd be interested what film was all about, and many of them would stay and learn more and more and more about Judaism. they're being taught, so many warped things about us, so of course they think they want to have nothing to do with it. And I don't think that's held against them. I don't think so. You know, they're good people and they're kind people, and God is just waiting for them to come back. God is described as a melech savlan, as a king that is patient, and a melech ne'elav, and a king that's willing to be shamed. We say the 13 attributes of God. The first attribute is Hashem. Mi kamo chakel, who is like you potent? Rav Moshe Cordoviro writes in the beginning of Tomer Dvora, he says, the capacity of God, when we say Hashem in the first of the 13 attributes, what we're describing is that mercy that God has, that He is patient with us. And He sees us doing the exact opposite of what He wants. And where do you have a king that sees his subjects doing the exact opposite and says, wait, they'll change their mind. Wait, have patience, give him more time, give him more time. It'll change. That's what God's doing with us. He keeps waiting for us to perfect it. But He's patient. So I don't think that that's a problem. I think the problem lies with us. That we, the religious, we that keep mitzvot, are not doing it in a way that's attractive enough. If we would perfect the type of people we should be, then every non-religious person would look at us and say, I want my kid to be like that. I'm going to send my kid to yeshiva. I want to see what they're like. And you should know there are a lot of people who do that. There are a lot of people throughout the country and outside Israel who also, they see it and they say, wait a second, this is what I want my kid to be like. I don't want him to go to school with a metal detector because there are stabbings going on. They got something right going on there. But I think if we would drive differently, you know, if everyone knew that a Jew that wears a yarmulke is courteous at the bus stop, a Jew that wears a yarmulke is courteous online, he won't cut online, he's going to be courteous as a driver. If that's the reputation we would have, then the country would look different. So I don't hold it against them. If there's a place I point the finger, it's at myself. So if I still have a neighbor, if I still have someone who I know who's not attracted to being a religious Jew, then I hold it against me. And Chazal said about even a great man like Avram Avinu. Chazal say that when Lot left Avram, God was very upset at Avram. God said, how could it be that your own relative turns his back on monotheism? Then you have to perfect something even more. So I think that if there's one thing God's upset about, and I hope He isn't, it's us, not them. They have their responsibility, but I think they have a pretty good excuse. I think so. It's not the answer we'd like to say, right? But that's what I think.